Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me.
Hour 2 begins. The Texans play tonight. They open up the preseason with the Hall of Fame game against the Chicago Bears. Normally, it'd be pretty intriguing. We'll see these teams in Week 2, so we'll save all their intrigue for the regular season. But Julian wants to talk about the Texans. What's up?
I won! Woo! I won the tickets to Post Malone! All you losers, go. Hang up! Not for you! All for me! Oh, hey, by the way, what do you think the Texans record is going to be?
'Julian did not win the Post Malone.
No, I would say, look,
David did.
Ratings can vary, but I think we could get to like 7 calls for tickets in 10 minutes. Trust me, calls can come and go, but if we're giving away free stuff, you calling in 15 minutes or 10 minutes after the ticket giveaway doesn't play. I mean, that's just the logistics of everything. Don't call in here and insult me like we need to wait that long for you to get tickets. But as far as what you actually want to talk about, what's the record? I don't want to do the cop-out thing and go, you know, they may win the same amount of games. They would be better, but the schedule's tougher. That is the reality of the situation. Let's go. The only way I can think of it as, because you can't predict injuries for the Texans, you can't predict injuries for the teams they're playing. They missed 2 starting quarterbacks. That's 2 more wins more than I think they might have had. Or CJ misses time. So I'm going to go this team, talent level, a legit contender to at least challenge the Chiefs, 12-5. I think they have a real shot to dominate this division. If we go just on paper, they should probably go 5-1 in the division. So you set yourself up with a good base. And now you're talking about what? Going 7-4 the rest of the games. I take that. I think 12-5 is doable.
12-5 is doable. Just looking at the schedule and going win, loss, win, win.
Sure.
Loss. That I did right now. I think 11-12 is probably the like high end of where they can get just with the schedule that they have. There is a chance that they are a better team. They just have the same record.
Oh, I know. I know that's the place where a lot of people have fallen.
I think anywhere between probably 9-12 is like reasonable health, and that's about what the team should do. They have probably that window. And of course, if either CJ gets hurt or they get slammed with injuries all over the place other than CJ, that's when you can get into like 7 wins. But I think for the most part, reasonable expectation is at the very least, 9 wins, which puts you right in the wild card mix.
Which would be... 9 is going to be a disappointment.
9 would be a disappointment. But I'm just saying that's like the low end of kind of the reasonable outcome.
Sure, if they're not decimated.
They could just not be that good. Yeah. Like, their offensive line could just be that bad.
Yeah, it could not be... It cannot live up to what they hope it to be.
Their defense, their pass defense might just be that bad.
They'll have good pass rushers, but maybe the Danico Autry thing hurts early and you can't cover anyone. We talked about how important Kamari Lassiter might be. Jalen Petrie in a position where he's not playing safety. He's playing nickel, and at this point he's their starting nickel. We'll see how that plays out. So moving pieces on defense and the secondary is the question mark there. Yeah. I mean, 9 is a total that would upset people. It's not something a lot of people are thinking about, but there's a path there. That's just even with regular health, like without a real astro-like injury epidemic. It could just be the NFL's tough. Sometimes things don't go your way. We're talking about what they were last year, and they won some one-score games. They lost some, but we're a miracle in Tampa away, against Tampa away from not making the playoffs. We're a Gardner Minshew more accurate pass to maybe a non-third-string running back from losing that Colts game. And, of course, you know, you let Bryce Young lead the Panthers down the field. He let Atlanta beat you. So there, we can do this back-and-forth thing, but that's just what the NFL is.
C.J. Stroud missed 2 games. They won one of them.
Yes, that's the other thing. They, on a miracle play, where was it Dalton Schultz made that grab?
I guess
that should have been an interception against the Titans, and of course you lose the next one.
Defend the honor of Houston.
Yes, as the Titans were wearing the Oilers jerseys, yes. It was a big moment, very big moment. And of course you lost the game where CJ was hurt. So that's just the ebbs and flows of the NFL season. So 9-12 is reasonable. 9 would piss people off. I think 12 would
piss people off because they... It needs to be 14.
Yeah, of course. 12 seems reasonable at that, like you said, the high end. If you're at 13, 14, then you're talking about the number one overall seed.
Yeah. I mean, I think most years now, it does feel like 13 is like about the best team in the league. 13 wins. We don't have any 14-3s anymore.
Yeah, I don't think we have those teams. The Eagles felt like they might have been on that way, on their way because of their record. But if you looked at the numbers behind it, it always felt like that was going to come crashing down. Not to the point that it did, but the point differential, the way they're winning football games at 10-1, that didn't feel real if you look behind the curtain.
And then they ended the season like 1-5.
Yeah, and losing to Tampa in a blowout on the road to end their season. So, yeah, 9-12. Maybe we just fall right into 10, which is what some people think. Better team, stronger schedule, maybe the same amount of wins. Thanks, Julian, for that call. Anyone else want to get in? And actually a serious one about the local team as opposed to what he normally does. I guess you can save your San Francisco call for tomorrow.
Yeah, well, when they play in the Hall of Fame game, let me know, all right?
Yeah, they don't have the level of brand awareness that the Texans do. Mm-hmm. They're not the hot team. Or maybe get one of your Hall of Famers into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah. T.O. should be in the Hall of Fame.
Isn't he in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, he might be.
I distinctly remember him doing push-ups at one point, either in protest or in recognition of being in the Hall of Fame but not being at the ceremony years ago.
I always equate Terrell Owens with all the steroids guys in baseball as guys that should obviously be in the Hall of Fame but aren't.
I do believe...
He is in the Hall
of Fame. Yeah, I just think he didn't show up to the event making a statement.
Then the Niners had their chance and blew it. Maybe Alden Smith will make the Hall of Fame.
I feel like...
Probably not.
I feel like that's not going to happen.
Okay.
Who would be the next 49er? Would they give it to... Is Patrick Willis in the Hall of Fame? Is he in this year? I'm trying to think of guys of recent...
Yeah, I mean, he retired a while ago. Now.
He would be...
Super young.
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame. His induction is this weekend.
Oh, so they specifically chose the Texans over the Niners in the Hall of Fame.
You think that's how it happened?
Yeah, they looked at the two teams. They looked at the brand exposure rating, and they're like, you know what? Give me the Texans. Give me C.J. Stroud, who won't play. Give me Tank Dell, who won't play. Give me Nico Collins, who won't play. Give me Stephon Diggs, who won't play. Daniel Hunter,
you know you're ripping apart your entire argument.
Well, the Niners wouldn't have anyone playing in this
game
either.
No one's playing in the game.
Nick Mullins would be playing. I don't even know if he's still on the Niners.
Yeah, I don't know who their backup quarterbacks are right now. Sam Darnold was last year. Now he's in Minnesota. So, Texans tonight, enjoy it. You are a team that they thought should be on TV. I don't know if they even take into account that none of the guys would play when they make these matchups. Does the NFL get it?
They probably see some sort of value in like just having C.J. Stroud there
on the sideline
in a bucket hat, answering questions from Jack Collinsworth.
Maybe they would have. Maybe they could have assumed that Caleb Williams would play because he's a rookie who has never taken a snap in the NFL.
I feel like that would be reasonable.
And the Bears were like, "You think it's reasonable, but it's not. It's not reasonable. He's not playing." I don't think it won't be a dud because it's football. It's the first football game of the year. It'll just get old pretty quickly. The Davis Mills Tyson Badgen experience won't be as enjoyable as what we could have had. But we'll see that week too, so it's not that far away. We'll come back with some Astro sound. Dana Brown will tell you why, beyond your own human eyes, why Rafael Montero has been DFA'd. Or if you missed it, that happened yesterday. Rafael Montero, no longer with the big club. He has a decision to make. We assume DFA just means he's out the door, but Dana Brown said he might be open to taking that assignment. Montero has to talk with his family and his agent, but we'll hear why it happened and what it means for the bullpen when we come back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
Welcome back. Sorry. I'm laughing because we're watching the individual vault in women's gymnastics, and Simone Biles just took a tumble. And then another competitor from Brazil, she didn't fall, but she stumbled as well. And Sean said, as we're coming back on the air, the lights are too bright. And that might be in reference to all the sparkle on the uniforms. I don't know. I don't watch gymnastics on a event-to-event, major event basis.
I'll forgive you.
I'm just like everyone else. The Olympics are here. I'm going to watch it. Yeah. That's about it. I did not know that the difference between a team leotard, if that's what they're called, and a individual leotard meant sparkles. Because if we watch the team portion of this, the women all have the same uniform on, which makes sense. It's the team event. Now, of course, no matter what, they're going to be in the country's colors, whether it be blue, predominantly blue, white, or red. It's always going to be like that. But the sparkles come out for the individual. When you're trying to win a gold medal for yourself, the sparkles do come out. And Simone Biles still trying to recover emotionally from that fall.
They're really giving her like the full. I mean,
she's the star. Yeah, they're going to focus on her.
But it is like the guy who dropped a pass in a Super Bowl. Like the camera's just in her face for 5 straight minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. She has to deal with that and see. I don't know if that was her final run or she's going to get another opportunity. But yeah, it was a bad fall. I don't know what it means as far as how deeply it affects her chances because. Like I said, I'm just watching it for the event.
I'm also not watching it on mute, so we don't know
what they're saying. Yeah, Suni Lee is about to take her shot at it. At least the last few runs were not good for, I think her name was Andrade from Brazil, and Simone Biles previously took a tumble. So we'll see. But let's move on to something we kind of understand a little bit better. The Astros and Rafael Montero. He's no longer with the big club. He has been DFA'd. The reasons feel obvious why he's no longer pitching for the Astros. You can't be that bad for that long. But maybe the assumption was because of how much money he's making, they weren't going to eat that along with their Abreu. Although I never really understood that. You're paying him anyway. Why would you pay him to be bad? Why take the double hit of him costing you chances to win while you have to pay him. So the Astros finally made the decision. All right, this isn't going to work. We're heading into the month of August in a pennant run, pennant chase, or at least a division chase, and we're not going to deal with Montero anymore. Here's Dana Brown discussing why Montero had to go.
Said he was going to talk to his wife and he's going to talk to his agent, but he was very open and optimistic, and the conversation was great. And he, he talked about how much fun and how much family he feel like he has here, and so we feel optimistic that he's probably going to accept.
Okay, that was Montero, or Dana Brown talking about Montero possibly accepting the assignment and maybe working on some things. You heard him say he's going to talk to his family and his agent about it. He also went on to talk about Montero leaving and why they made the move and what they're going to do to help the bullpen. Here's Dana Brown on that.
We're just trying to improve the bullpen and get strong, and we realize that Montero has been going through a rough patch, and he's been really good for this organization, and it kind of stands out when you're going through a rough patch, and I think he realized he was struggling and he was frustrated, and so we're really trying to lock down our bullpen, and so we felt like this would really help our bullpen. Our guys have been grinding through the whole year, and so we just want to bring in some reinforcements.
Apparently one of the U.S. coaches looks like Mike Budenholzer, and I'm looking at him right now. Sean's not off on this. There's a striking resemblance.
He just looks like Mike Budenholzer. That's it. That's all my observation.
That's all. And it's really from the side. I mean, more dead on. A younger, less confused Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah, less shocked of Mike Budenholzer.
Yes, always had that shocked look on his face. So we'll see how the competitors for the U.S. team do as they all strive for a gold medal and maybe a silver or bronze in the individual competition. So you heard Dana Brown discuss Rafael Montero being open to a DFA move possibly, and also why they made the move. We were talking about him being the last guy on the roster where you were expecting him to ruin your night. Now Niall has a nomination for the next guy who we haven't mentioned, Chaz McCormick, as the guy next up, as the most likely player on the Astros roster to ruin your night from night to night.
He's next up,
according to Niall.
McCormick is next. He's a good one. He's probably the best bet for one, especially now that Dubon hit a home run last night.
You thought Dubon was creeping up the list? He had been bad.
He was creeping up the list.
He had been bad. He admitted it in the clip that we played.
It's more of a recent thing with him as opposed to Chaz McCormick, where it's kind of been all year.
Yeah, he's been bad all year.
Same thing with Abreu, same thing with Montero, so where it's kind of just been bad all year.
So now that those two guys aren't in our baseball lives anymore, who does all the ire fall on when things go poorly? I mean, Dana Brown, he's in the executive branch, yeah. So of course he'll catch it. But as far as the day-to-day people we have to watch, is it strictly an Espada thing? Is there who are the fans get after? Because Montero's gone. You can't blame him anymore. You can't blame Abreu anymore. Who are we looking at? When we shift blame to someone, who are like, oh, no, not him. He can't be up.
I'll just say, I really hope for his own sake Kikuchi has a couple good starts.
Yeah, man. That's the one.
I hope he starts off on a good foot.
That's the one.
Because the thing with being a starter pitcher, though, is you have one bad start, then you just got to sit in it for 5 days, and then you get another one. And so there's a chance that the first 3 weeks of the Kikuchi experience is just like, oh, my God, this guy sucks.
And he will have very few opportunities to make up for it. Just got to wait for your turn. Yeah, I think that's a clear person who will catch anything, all the frustration Astro fans have if he starts out poorly.
He's also not in great form as of late.
So we're kind of even expecting him not to be great.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of like, oh my God, this guy is who, and there's a, and it's also, this is who we traded for, this bum.
There's a lot of things going against Kikuchi right now. The only thing that's going to work out for him that's going to make this better is just pitch better.
Yes.
Pitch well.
Six scoreless.
Oh, wow. Six scoreless. No way. If he goes out there and gives up 2-5, He's minted.
It depends how many the Astros score. If it's what? Five innings, he two earned runs, and zero run support.
They're going to get after the hitters then. You're going to hear people.
I don't think that's how it works.
Can't blame Kikuchi if it's five innings, two runs given up in his first start. That's on everyone else. He's your fourth or fifth starter.
That what you're saying is perfectly logical.
You're not expecting logic.
I am not expecting logic.
He can't be. Look, I can't control how people react. It's up to them. Fan how you want. But in this hypothetical, which probably won't happen.
I think this deck is already stacked against Kikuchi. That's all I'm saying.
But you went strong. Six scoreless is the only way people won't hate him for his performance. Five innings. It's not a quality start. But five innings, two runs given up, and you're tied at two? We're good. I think we're good. I think people will be fine. That would be better than they thought he was going to provide.
Yeah. Good old no decision.
Oh, she didn't fall down this time, but another hop for Simone Biles. I don't know what it means. She just didn't stick it. That's all.
You got to stick the landing.
She is getting some daps from everyone. When she fell, she got none of those daps. So we'll see what happens. And she may just be doing things at a more difficult level. That's what we hear about her, that she does things at a level that no one else can reach. So it may not matter. But she did not fall down. So that's better. Look at us criticizing this. The slow-mo of this is insane.
The slow-mo is like, I feel bad for saying anything, being like, oh, didn't stick the landing. Oh, there's Jonathan Owens.
No matter what happens, the fact that she's capable of that, ridiculous.
Do you think Jonathan Owens is like, thank God I'm here or not at the Hall of Fame game?
Well, he said, well, why would, oh, he's a Bear.
Yeah.
Probably. Well, he got training camp off to watch her. There's someone who is engaged to Sophia Smith, one of the star soccer players for the country, who did not get training camp off, or maybe didn't even ask. I forget. I saw that come across.
Ouch.
Well, there are levels to this. Oh, Sophia Smith, great player. She ain't Simone Biles. We're not giving you time off for that. You got to watch the GOAT in person. And the scores are up. Don't know what it means, but they're up there.
15.7. Looks good.
We'll see how it compares to everyone else. She feels better. You can tell. That first one was rough. Eric wants to talk about the Olympics. We'll get to him when we come back. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Welcome back. Despite the fall, despite the hop, she's in first after one rotation. So everything's good right now for Simone Biles. The level of difficulty seems like it's mattering. As she leads after her vault performance. Eric wants to talk about the Olympics. What's up?
Hey, Dale. How do you think the U.S. breakdancing team is going to do in the Olympics? Also, why is Greg Olsen still taking garbage for making that wonderful rap song? You know, the U is good when they're as nasty as they want to be. And how do you think Pop That Coochie is going to do on Friday? I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, you mean Kikuchi? Is that what you meant? You left off a syllable. You say Kikuchi is his name. I don't know how he'll do on Friday. I hope for the best. I don't know if the Astros have had enough time to sprinkle their dust on him. Miller and Murphy. They haven't had him for a while. We need him to be good immediately, but it might not take early. What else did he ask about? Breakdancing? I don't know, Eric. There are some things even beyond my limit of just even random kernels of knowledge. I haven't looked into it. I can barely get through talking about gymnastics. You want me to break down the breakdancing team?
I'm not sure if they started.
I think that's why I asked. Maybe he wants to put some money on it. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yes, I like them. Take them.
Take the USA.
Take either them or Brazil.
Are any of these step-up kids in it?
They call them B-boys and B-girls.
I'm sure they do. That's a traditional name for what they do.
I thought that they would, once it becomes a sport, I thought they would you know.
Men and women?
Or just change the name, you know, step on the history of breaking.
Apparently they're traditionalists, so B-boys and B-girls. I can't tell you. I don't know if I'll watch any.
Actually, take Japan.
Maybe.
I just thought about it for a little bit.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. Just to assume. I hope our teams win. I just can't tell you if they will win. I imagine I'll see it come across the timeline. I don't know if I'm going to watch any of it live, though. And we see Kevin Durant making the rounds now. He's in wherever the gymnastics building is. He's there. He went from watching Haley Van Lith lose a 3-on-3 game. She wasn't the only one playing, but it's the only one we know. Sorry. So I'm blaming her.
Thank you.
Because then it would be 1-3, and of course she would lose. It's 3-3. She was the star, at least according to Sean and Dell. She loses to Australia. Kevin Durant saw that in person. Now he's in the building to watch the U.S. gymnast go at it as Simone Biles leads after one rotation. So let me ask you this, Sean. With the Astros not taking up your time tonight, you have made it clear that Bears-Texans isn't going to be at the forefront of your mind if you even happen to tune in. I think you probably will because of Gallant and George. You could probably get away with not watching it if you just did this show. But I think...
I can especially get away with it with Gallant and George. Because they'll talk about it.
I don't even talk about it.
You might ask me a question about it.
That's true. You can just sit back and not have to get involved. Of course. That's kind of the breaking the fourth wall of the producing stuff. Depending on who your host is, there's some things you know you don't have to care about.
I can check out on this.
Yeah. What's tonight? It's Thursday. I'm not sure what's great on regular or streaming TV today.
I think Chicago Med's on.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. I just named a NCIS.
Is Thursday night Chicago night on NBC?
Well, it's probably Olympics night on NBC.
Well, point made, certainly. And it's the summer, too. So there that is.
It's nothing but reruns for NCIS.
Understood. So will the Texans make it onto your television tonight at all? You can be honest. I'm not going to hold you to anything.
I'm honestly not sure.
I respect that answer.
I doubt it, but there is a chance that I just, at 7:30 or whenever it starts, I'm just like, you know what?
Muscle memory.
I'll just throw it on. And then I'll see Davis Mills throw one pass. I'm like, I am out. I will say, if I do watch, so chances I watch, I don't know, 45%, 40%. Chances that I watch more than 30 minutes, probably like 10.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
I don't know what would it take for
me to
watch than 25 minutes.
I think we all suffer from it, unless you're a sicko. But you watch it, and then it creeps in that, This isn't good. Then you immediately start to think, what else can I watch? It happens all the time. Those are NFL players, even when they're just backups. They're NFL players, and the level at which they're playing at is normally higher than what we're going to see in the spring leagues. But, you know, maybe it's how the games are broadcast because they're always flitting around other things because we know play-by-play doesn't really matter. The conversations aren't really about the plays. They're about other things. Like, a lot of the conversation today will be about the Texans as a whole, not what's going on the field. It all feels like, all right, you're not treating this very seriously. Why should I? And I just start to tune out.
Yeah. There's only so many shots of Stephon Diggs wearing a bucket hat that I can be like, oh, yes, this game means something. It really does show a lot about how we know when a game means something and when it doesn't. And how much we want to watch a game that does not mean anything. That, like you said, they are all NFL players on that field. I guess some are not going to be NFL players for long. But if you tell me that it's going to, instead of that, there's going to be, you know, whatever the first college football game, you know, Florida State versus South Carolina or whatever, North Carolina versus South Carolina, where I'm like, that's interesting. Even though that is definitely going to be worse players on the field than a Hall of Fame game. But it's like, well, that one will be 1-0.
Using Power 5 stuff. You give me NCAA against Youngstown. I'm like, at least I know this matters a whole hell of a lot to who's playing out there. So I will watch this.
Okay.
I will lock in on that.
That is fair. Yeah, there is just a level of like, this counts. so I want to watch. Where I know this does not count, so I do not want to watch.
Any of them beyond the stakes. It's just...
All the interviews with Andre Johnson or CJ Stroud or whoever, that'll be on social media. I don't need to watch that.
True.
I don't need to watch for the, like... So, also, no offense to Andre Johnson.
It's not that personable.
Not must-see TV.
Now, apparently, in the broadcast with the Astros, he was pretty good. People lot. Oh, we don't know that Andre. So I'll give. Okay. I didn't see it live, but a lot of people are like, okay, that was entertaining. So maybe he's come out of his shell. We'll see tonight when he's interviewed. Well, we'll see on social media tonight.
I'll see on my phone.
Yeah, someone will send you something, or it'll come across on your phone.
Let's see if Jack Collinsworth can get him out of his shell.
Master interviewer.
I mean, because it's not going to be Mike Tirico's in Paris.
True.
Maria Taylor's in Paris.
Is Al Michaels doing the game?
No. I don't know. Because he does the Amazon stuff.
Yeah, you're right. He's on. He doesn't do Sunday Night Football anymore. He does Thursday Night Football. You're right. I forgot about that. So yeah, Mike. I don't know who
he's doing the AI recaps for. His voice is doing the AI recaps. So yeah, maybe he can. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know who the backup play-by-play guy is when Mike Tirico's not available.
Noah Eagle is doing...
he's doing basketball. Dwayne Wade. I saw that yesterday.
It might be Jack Collinsworth. Oh, my God.
Doing the play-by-play. Is he the play-by-play guy for Notre Dame?
I think he is. Or at least he was.
NBC. I mean, sure. Nepotism, I get it. You're leaning a little too far into it. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Jason Garrett's probably going to be involved.
Ooh.
Rodney Harrison.
Yeah.
Tony Dungy?
Yeah, we're putting that on mute.
I'm now talking. Well, is it on NBC? I know it's normally on NBC, but sometimes they change the stuff. Is it going to be on Hall of Fame? Or is the Hall of Fame game going to be on NBC?
I am not sure about that, honestly. I'm not sure who is broadcasting the game. Jerry's going to watch it. We'll talk to Jerry when we come back. Jerry's going to watch the game. Maybe a lot of you guys are, too, and you're differing from us. Maybe you're very excited. We talk about the players we want to see. Kamari Lassiter. Kate Stover was a guy mentioned in an article. But my guys are Lassiter. Kenyon Green's another one. We'll see if he can solidify a spot on the inside.
It'll be on ESPN and ABC.
Okay, so all the Jack Collinsworth slander was unnecessary.
Not unnecessary. Just unnecessary today.
Today, yeah. We can wait. We can wait for Notre Dame football and Sunday Night Football. So ESPN. So Joe Buck, I think.
That helps a little bit.
It's better with Joe Buck. So we'll talk to Jerry about the game tonight. Anyone else want to get in on the final segment? 713-780-3776.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We lost Jerry. Jerry, if you want to get back in, call in. Anyone else can call in too. We got one more segment here to go before Gallant and George begin. Keith, you want to talk NFL? What's up?
Hey, guys, appreciate you having me on. Wasn't able to get in this morning on Dale's other show, but I've got my weekly series. 2 weeks ago, I said Tannehill would be a good fit as Caleb Williams' backup in Chicago. Last week, I think the Ravens need a backup to Lamar Jackson because he's always sick. I don't like Josh Johnson as a backup. He's been in the league 20 years. This week, Tannehill, I think, could be the perfect fit as a backup in Tampa Bay to Baker Mayfield because obviously nobody wants to see Kyle Trask play meaningful NFL minutes. What do you think about Tannehill to Tampa Bay?
I appreciate Keith because we're always his backup option when the show he wants to call into doesn't let him on. He announces it too. That's the second time he's announced it. Hey, I tried to get in on the previous show. I couldn't get on, so I'm going to call you.
Mm-hmm.
You can try to clean it up by saying Dell's other show, but I know what your priorities are, Keith.
I like Tampa.
Tampa's not bad.
Stays in Florida. Oh, wait, I guess he played in Tennessee for a while.
I think Tannehill is a guy who won't find a job until very late in the preseason.
Cowboys?
Over Cooper Rush?
Oh, I forgot about it. I was just thinking Trey Lance.
A lot of people are just focusing on Trey Lance. But I believe Cooper Rush is still there. I think Tannehill will wind up someplace. But it won't be early.
Needs an injury?
Injury or...
Is he in Joe Flacco mode?
Oh, that's late in the year. Or they feel like our backup is worse than we thought. We need someone who can keep us afloat for a couple games. I can see him being a guy who doesn't get a job until the regular season.
Who's Arizona's backup?
We're
probably already spent too much time on
this. Arizona. Yeah, even the question about who Arizona's backup is too much time.
I realized when I asked that question that
why would I know that?
And offhand, we're spending way too much time thinking about where Ryan Tannehill might play.
Yes, but the scenario plays out. You mentioned Joe Flacco. I don't think it'll be that time frame, but he's a guy who feels like a team would sign him during the season. Or he may not want to be part of a training camp. Desmond Ridder is the Arizona backup.
Oh, also Clayton Tune. Never mind. They're good.
U of H's own, Clayton Tune.
Yeah.
It's the AAC. Well, all those guys. Well, AAC, yeah. Clayton Tune. Desmond Ridder, all playing the American, even though now both those teams are out of the American. But at one point,
they played in America.
Did you see the graphic thing that everyone was like, I don't know if you should do that. I once got into it wasn't a real argument, but at one point, Samantha Ponder was just a sideline reporter who had a relationship as far as not a romantic relationship, but she had a relationship with 1560. She made appearances on, I think, the Sean and John show. You know, a radio host reaches out to an attractive woman in sports. Hey, you want to be on the show? And it happened that way. Sam Ponder, at the time, Samantha Smith, or Steele. Was it Steele? She was good at her job. They reached out to her. She made appearances on the show. What was she taking credit for? She was I think she's a Pac-12 person. Maybe she went to the Pac-12 school, and she tweeted out that something about Alex Smith, the former Utah quarterback, and gave that credit to one of his performances from the past as being a Pac-12 player. And because I was a dummy at the time, I was like, excuse me, that doesn't belong to the Pac-12. He did not do that as a Pac-12 player. That's nonsense. I don't know how strong I went, but I did try to call her out on it because at that point I was a person who cared to be arguing on social media. I don't care about that anymore. That one struck me as no way that can happen. No way. And then she responded with, well, he's in the Utah's in the Pac-12 now. And I think I responded with it. That would be like saying the ACC has more national titles because Miami won one in 2001 with the Big East. Something like that. Just being a snot, pretty much.
Yeah,
no reason for me to do it. And that was what the world was like yesterday when Katie Ledecky was I think the ACC tweeted it out.
ACC
athlete Network. Katie Ledecky, who played at, who you know, had her swimming career at Stanford.
Graduated from Stanford like 2016 or something.
And the entire world was like, no, you're not taking that. And I got people standing up for the Pac-12, or the Pac-10 maybe at that point.
Yeah, I don't know why Samantha Ponder was caping for the Pac-12 because she went to Liberty.
Maybe she was covering the Pac-12. I don't remember, but she was.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, that's what it was. In 2009, she worked for Fox Sports, being a sideline reporter for the Pac-12 and Big 12 college football.
And I said, not on my watch.
Said, mm-mm.
You're not giving,
no, ma'am.
You're not taking that away from the Mountain West. I've grown. That argument is stupid. Who cares? It doesn't matter that much.
I'm kind of with you on this.
I know I'm right. I just wouldn't do it again.
How many? So Utah with Alex Smith, they won a conference title. Did they win a Pac-12 conference title?
Exactly.
Kind of speaks to why you didn't play in the Pac-12.
Exactly. Now, Utah has found a way to win Pac-12 titles. Let's not diminish the first time they won one in reality because you want to talk about what happened. Now you're getting me stuck into the argument again. Damn you. I don't want to argue about this. It's stupid. It doesn't matter. I just think it's clearly nonsense to attribute titles and records to a conference when it didn't happen when the member wasn't in the conference. You get it, everybody, right? That's why everyone went after the ACC. Katie Ledecky is not one of your athletes.
I'm glad you won the Samantha Ponder.
I don't know if it wasn't
an argument 15 years
it wasn't in the future. It wasn't a win. It was just I was clearly on the right side of history. Win. I was clearly right. But you don't ever win a Twitter argument. No one really wins those.
Oh, wow. It's like Roadhouse. No one wins a fight.
You just survive.
Yeah.
So, yeah. ACC, you're on your last legs, it feels like, anyway. The general public isn't looking to hear from you. Katie Ledecky won another gold yesterday. American hero, American athlete, who I don't know if we have an American Sports Hall of Fame, but she would belong in it. You don't get to glom on the ACC. Now you have Stanford, and they're great in the Olympic sports. At some point, they will have another champion who played in the ACC. You can latch on to that. It's fine. But don't you dare take Katie Ledecky away from the Pac-12.
Is the SEC going to tweet about Kevin Durant?
I would hope.
SEC athlete, Kevin Durant.
I would hope they have. When he wins a gold medal?
Yeah.
They have Bam and Booker. They have enough. They don't have to tweet about Kevin Durant.
Okay, so they'll throw him on the graphic with
they don't, Bam. No, and don't Booker. Put him on the graphic.
They shouldn't.
No, the big.
They will.
He's one of those guys who's lost history. The Big 12 shouldn't, just to protest what Texas has done. And the SEC shouldn't either.
No, Texas, so no tweets about Kevin Durant winning
Texas,
a gold medal?
Texas should.
Okay.
The Sun should. But that's it. Those are the only two.
Okay.
Those are my rules.
Glad you're policing who can tweet about Kevin Durant winning a gold medal.
Just have some respect for the past. That's all I'm asking for. Kevin Durant and the SEC should stay away. You've got enough. You've got guys who played in your conference for a year.
Davis, Bam, Booker. That's actually the funny part, is Texas being like, Olympians are made here, and as a picture of Kevin Durant, who went to UT for 6 months.
No, they developed
15
him.
Years ago.
They developed that guy.
Yeah,
15 he wasn't. Years ago. He would not be the player he is today if he didn't spin a pit stop at Texas.
If Rick Barnes didn't get his hands on him and lost to USC in the second round.
Known developer, Rick Barnes.
Yeah. Who knows? He might be on that crap-ass 3-on-3 team.
If not for Rick Barnes, instead of watching the 3-on-3 tournament, he'd be playing in it?
Yeah. Stinking it up. Losing.
Okay. Well, I would hope if it comes down to it, they would recruit him because they need the help. We are now 0-5 in 3-on-3 basketball. Someone tweeted, I think it was Greg, who said, we can't just get some guys from Rucker Park. They probably would be better. They're American citizens. They go out there and rep for the country and not get their asses kicked. It's an embarrassment to our basketball dominance, even worse than 2004. We're done for the day. Gallant and George up next. Killer Bees, follow them. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
We did it!
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home. With hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Save big on your next project right now at Menards. Improve your home's appearance with a new garage door from Ideal Door. Did you know a garage door is the number one project for return on your investment? Instantly increasing the value of your home. Choose a new door from our in-stock selection or customize your own using our free garage door designer. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Race to savings for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the comfort and support you need with a new mattress from Serta. Find the perfect mattress for a deep and restorative night's sleep. Take control of your sleep and save big money on Serta mattresses now at Menards. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on more great deals happening now.
Save big.